Yeah. This is Sunday morning, October 27th, 2019. This is going to be the Prophet's Corner. This is Be Well Balanced is the name of this. Trying to read all night long. I had stuff going over in me, and I'm trying to pick up exactly what that was. I just sense I'm to go in that direction. First Peter 3:10, he that would love life and see good days, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile. And I struggle as a prophet because the Lord has me say things. And this morning I was saying, Lord, I want to be able to say what you want me to say, but also not let my lips speak guile. You know what I'm saying? And the Lord said, well, when you speak for me and you step in that place and you speak for me, it's not you speaking. So you need to learn to define the two and not be condemned, thinking, I feel so mean sometimes. I feel harsh sometimes. But if you look back in the scriptures at especially the Old Testament prophets, even Jesus, he called out the spiritual leaders, called them snakes. I mean, so did Paul to the pillar of the church, Peter. I mean, and so the balance of that. Now, if I just go around spouting off and saying ugly things about people, I would say that's speaking guile. But also, to me, speaking guile is speaking anti-Christ, anti-God, not speaking faith. I think that qualifies. So, yesterday the Lord began to speak to me about be well-balanced. A well-balanced mind is the goal. It can clearly be seen in these scriptures. Here you will see the difference, between the two and the struggle of the mind. All right, we're going to look at 1 Galatians chapter 5. You know, it doesn't matter what a person has done in their life. I mean, it does matter, but we have to take into account, especially this day and age, where we're seeing a lot of wickedness start to show up, and the swamp being drained, we're starting to see men that have done wicked things. And the Lord said, don't ever forget that the most wicked high priestess in the satanic movement, down to just the rank and file criminal, every single one of them have had their mind seized by the devil. All of them are unbalanced in their thinking and in their mind, and that's why they act the way they do. And if that's why the Lord told us that after we got, you know, born again spirit filled, a lot of people think, well, I got born again 45 years ago, but you know, they didn't do anything with it. They think it's just a spectator sport, but it's not. We have to participate. We have to agree with the Lord. We have to decide, now I'm going to go get my mind renewed, so now I know how to walk this new way, because I've walked the old way and that's not God's way. So how do I find out? Romans 12:1-2. So you can know God's will, his good, acceptable, perfect will, even the thing that's good in his sight for you. So people, I think, don't realize that there is something we have to do. It's not just God just does the work. He just does it, you know. One day I'll just appear as something else. No. This is a walk. This is something that we don't really even... I know I was 40 years old before I really knew that I had a call. That it started becoming defined. But it was after I started spending a lot of time in the Word, and my mind began to be renewed. And in renewing my mind, it revealed to me God's plan. If I had not have done that, most people that I know, live and die, never know what God wants them to do. Well, they're not looking in the book. They're looking in the world, trying to find their niche and trying to find their place. So the Word of God rightly defines the will of God for every person on this flat earth we live on. Every single person. God has a overall will and a defined will for every single person. And it says, well, since we keep hitting that, let's just go right to it. This is Romans chapter 12. God wants, he can't, it's like I can lead you to water, but I can't make you drink. You feel for people, you want to help people, but if they, it's like an old mule, you know what I'm saying? That old mule's not going to get up. There's not much you can do. You can pull on him and do whatever you want, but he's going to sit right where he sits. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. It doesn't mean God's going to lasso you and drag you somewhere and make you do it. No, he's not going to do it. You present your bodies. You come before him and say, Lord, I lay it down. I lay it down. You decide. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, if a person will not do this, they will become conformed. It's just inevitable. If you're not going to go God's way, since there's only two masters, if you don't go God's way, you're going to naturally, with the curse being on the earth, you're just going to naturally gravitate to that part of it, unless you present your body as a living sacrifice. And you begin the process of renewing your mind. Okay, Galatians 5 now. We used to sing a song called Little by Little Every Day, Little by Little Every Way. Jesus is changing me. He's changing me. But what people don't realize, Jesus don't just change you. He don't just change you. You have something to do concerning it. If he just did it, then we'd all just go on our merry way and do our own thing, and it would just happen, right? No. We have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. What does a sacrifice indicate? You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're no longer your own. You're bought with a price. Okay, Galatians 5:16. We're going to see here the works of the Spirit, the works of the flesh. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And I'm not in the right place. Hold on. 5:16. Then this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we never renew our mind, how are we going to know these things? We won't. We're going to walk by carnal nature, because that's what we were born into. And that's what we will gravitate to and will follow. If we don't let the new nature begin to take root in us. Okay. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Most people live for instant gratification. If you don't believe me, think about the sex crimes of today that are totally out of control. The pedophilia, the human trafficking, all this underground stuff, a whole city going on under our feet, and we didn't even know anything about it. The flesh, instant gratification. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You will never be able to. This was Paul's struggle over there, chapter 6, 7, and 8. He starts talking about, oh, I want to do these things, but the very thing I want to do, I just can't seem to do it. What was he dealing with? That process of coming out from being the old man, being born again, and renewing his mind and finding out what he had in Christ Jesus and how he could become an overcomer. He was still struggling with that old flesh. I mean, he was a Pharisee. But then later he says, but thank God through Jesus Christ. He found the answer. He found a way to walk in the way of the Lord and to not let his flesh dominate him. He had plenty of opportunities. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Do you ever see here the other master? It's all about, you can put even homosexuality and transgender in there too. Their whole identity is their sexual identity. And they're blatant about it. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the like, which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envy one another. People that are trapped under the old nature in these lifestyles. Isn't that why Jesus came? See, our assignment is to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. If you're a transgender, it's to get you back in your right mind. If you're a homosexual, it's to get you back in your right mind. If you're a murderer or a thief or an adulterer, to get you in your right mind. Change your mind for the better. That's what John the Baptist heralded before Jesus. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's time to change your mindsets. How do we change our mindsets? The Word of God. Renewing our minds, not being conformed. This is probably the biggest, single biggest thing after being born again, Spirit-filled, is the renewing of the mind process. And if a person's not going to do that, they're probably not going to fare well, even if they're a Christian. Because they have to decide which nature you're going to go with. You have a choice. Now, a lot of us end up in between, back and forth, in the renewing process, but at least we're making progress. We're getting better. We're getting to the point that our flesh does not rule us like it used to. But that's not to criticize and condemn. If we miss it, we just get right back on it and keep on down the road. That's what you do. It's a journey. It's not something that just happens overnight. I wished it did. I wish you just got born again. Everything was brand new. But if that were true, we'd probably all have been in heaven already. Or with the Lord, or however it's going to be. This is why we're sent. Is to change people's minds for the better. And Jesus did it by goodness. He did it by not condemning anybody. That's why he ate with publicans and sinners. That's why he had the tax collectors, which were the scourge of the earth, because they were under heavy Roman taxation and they hated the tax collectors. And so Jesus would be seen with them and he'd get criticism from the church, because they were so hard on you, nobody could do it. They added, I don't know how many hundreds of laws they added besides what Moses laid down to where the people, they couldn't do it. But Jesus came and said, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. The woman caught in adultery. Woman, where's your accuser? I don't condemn you, but don't go sin no more. Have a mindset change about the deal. Change your mind about it. She started following Jesus. Got her mind renewed. Aren't you thankful that Paul went what he went through, because we have the epistles today because of the suffering that Paul, and he suffered a lot, to be able to bring this so we can have it today and we can walk by it. Okay, the weapons that God has given to the spirit-filled believer are not carnal weapons. It says they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, high and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We just saw it in Galatians. The works of the flesh, the works of the spirit. The works of the flesh are always trying to exalt themselves against the knowledge of Christ. And we have to choose to bring them down. We're going to bring them down and they're going to master us. Okay, I already read that to you. Peter had some insight into this. This is 1 Peter chapter 5. It's what I mean when a person comes and they don't look right. They don't act right. You know, the people that we see today acting out and being so, just repulsive. I got to thinking, what if Secretary Clinton walked in this place here today? Would we curl our lips and say, we don't want you here? Or would we say, Madam Secretary, please take the finest seat in the House? How would you act? Would it be with hate? Repulsed? Or could you, like Jesus, say, daughter, I've known you since you were a little girl. Would you hear my voice today? Turn from that other way. You know, Jesus appealed to people. He dealt with them where they were in their humanity. How are we ever going to help anybody if we are filled with disgust? You have to see them the way the Lord does. When I used to work at Birthright, one of the first things the Lord showed me about the women that walked through that door, and there were a lot of them, and most of them were young women. One day I saw, and it was like I didn't see the girl, I saw their spirit. Just like that song. I saw their spirit, and that spirit needed God. You got to look past the physical and what the outward appearance. There's an eternal spirit there that God wants to be with him forever. He don't want to lose one of them. And if we're repulsed and we act like we can't stand them and we shun them and we act with respect of persons because they look better, they've got to be holier. God's going to raise up pastors that look just like them to help them. You know, there's all kinds of different kinds of ministers and different shapes and forms and different walks of life that will appeal to these ones that need. Is it the well that we're sent to, or is it the sick? Jesus said, they that are well need not the physician, but they that are sick. So that is what we need to have in our thinking. Lord, we're looking for somebody that's sick that we can help recover. And you know what? Kindness always goes a long way. You show respect to somebody, even if you don't like them. That's why the Lord said, pray for your leaders and all in authority. He didn't say the good ones. He said, all. Even Obama. Even Hillary. Pray for all in authority. Why? Because the love of God doesn't fail. When you lose love, you lose God. Okay, 1 Peter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He doesn't want us being in care. You know what? If you're a person that carries care all the time, it's going to be hard for you to help anybody else. And sadly, I think a lot of the Christian community is in that place. They're just so riddled down with the cares of this world that they can't look beyond their nose at anything else at this point. A lot of it is because there's a lack of maturity in the body of Christ, which is going to change, and it's going to change soon, because God's raising up new leaders that are like sergeants, and they're going to get the troops in line, get them grown up. That's what we're supposed to have been doing all along. That's what the fivefold ministry gifts do, to teach them to do the work of the ministry. And what's the work of the ministry? Taking the gospel. Not programs. Even though God does give individual programs, I'm not against that. If the Lord says do it, you do it. But our main thing, even the apostles, the 12 disciples and then the apostles, their commission was to take the gospel. Period. Okay. Walking by the fruit of the Spirit is the walk of a balanced mind. Flip back to Galatians 6. I said, Lord, help me to bring a grow-up message with a smile. A serious message. This is Galatians 6, 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So he wants us to encourage people to not be weary, to not sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit. Not get weary in that. Encourage people in that. The evil one has a playground in your life when you waver back and forth. Okay, James. We all know about wavering back and forth. There's every one of us have areas that we tend to go back and forth on that the Lord's trying to get us to be stable in. James 1, 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, that might be our first problem right there. It totally goes against the nature of man to joy in trials. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Can you see? If we're not renewed in our minds about things, then we're going to constantly going back to what the old nature dictates, right? And the Lord says, you've got to walk by the Spirit if you want faith to manifest. If you're walking in the flesh, it can't. You can't operate faith and flesh. You can't. So what does the renewing of the mind do? It convinces you so that you no longer waver. That's what a well-balanced mind is, a mind that does not waver. So let peace make the call. Always stay with that peace. If you don't have peace, don't say or do anything. Just don't say or do if you don't have peace. Never let the pressure force you to step out of your peace zone. Satan does not call the shots. You do. If you step in the flesh, he wins. Now listen, this is a biggie. Peace is to make the call in whatever we do. Satan comes with pressure to get you to step out of your peace zone. Pressure. We're either going to be conformed, compressed by the evil one, or we're going to remain at peace and rest and not step out of it. The world pressures you to make decisions. The devil will pressure you. He will use your flesh or whatever he has to, situations and circumstances, to get you to step out of your peace. All right, Isaiah 40. He giveth power to the faint, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I mean, even today, well-meaning people that are trying to help people. Oh, you better get your money transferred over there into gold and silver. Oh, you better buy this dehydrated food. It lasts 25 years. It's better to have it than to not have it. All these things coming at you, making you think, oh, I ought to do this or I ought to do that. It's kind of like Y2K. You need to stockpile water. You need to stockpile food. Do all of these things. Lord never said do anything. I bought water and put it top of my closet and it ruined the top of my closet. That's the only thing. Pressure. Pressure to step out of your peace zone. If the Lord hasn't said do anything, then I guess you're okay, huh? But how much of the time do we run, do this and that and everything else because everybody dictates that we should? Because all they do is live by the flesh. Even if they're good people, they live by the flesh. And all they see is the natural. We've got to prepare. Oh, we've got to prepare. We've got to prepare. We've got to prepare. And the Lord said, did I make the Israelites prepare for anything? Did I tell them they needed to change their health care benefits to some other place? No. They took communion and they come out, well, they took the Passover lamb and they come out not weak or sick. He told them to go borrow from the Egyptians, so they raided their houses and took all their gold. You think God can't take care of us? I've heard so many outlandish things that people need to do, and oh, the sky's falling type of stuff from people talking about the reset. I'm thinking, don't you people realize God's doing this? It's not by might or power, but by Spirit. Don't get out of peace in this. Don't let what they say rattle you. If he hasn't said do something, then don't do something. Remain in the peace zone. A lot of our battle is this back and forth. Do I have the right crowd today? You're not obligated to follow Satan and give into the flesh. Don't give into the pressure to just do something. Put on the mind of Christ, for he is the Prince of Peace. We're not obligated to the devil or anybody else to do just whatever we're pressured to do. We're not obligated. We're obligated to stay with the peace. Peace is the umpire, makes the call. World Series is going on. That's a perfect analogy. I've never forgotten it since the Lord gave it to me many years ago. Safe! Stay in the peace and you're safe! I don't care what talking wagon tongue is out there saying. Whatever he says to you, do it. That's what Mary said about her son. Whatever he says to you, do it. And then you can do it in confidence and you don't lose your peace. We're not supposed to be in turmoil several days and just going through it and then we finally get peace for a day or two. That's not the way it's supposed to be. All right, Philippians 2. Five. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. They come out of the temple or wherever it was when he stood up to read, and when he walked out, you know, they're going to throw him down the hill. So he just walked through the crowd like, please. Couldn't touch him. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Where do we get that? By renewing our mind. It's time to stop your struggle and enter God's rest about things. Psalms 23. All right, let's look at Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now I want you to look here at the provision in just this one psalm. I won't want. He's my shepherd, he's leading me. He's in the lead. If I need to do something, he'll tell me. If I don't need to do anything, he won't say nothing. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Not oceans, waves, cresting, hurricanes, earthquakes, still waters. He restores my soul. That's a mind, well-balanced mind, at rest. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. All I see is provision here and peace. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I see a person with a well-balanced mind here. Doesn't get out of sorts under any condition. Why? The shepherd's leading. The shepherd's supplying. We're in the peace zone here. This is our walk. This is supposed to be the walk, not hell one day and maybe a little bit up better the next day. And not this. It's the back and forth stuff that causes that stuff. The hit and miss stuff. There's no hit and miss when we're following the shepherd. It's not complicated. It is a discipline. Learn to follow the Spirit's lead, and in doing so, you will resist the devil. James 4:7. Resist the devil. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Satan's goal is to keep you in the combat zone. Stay in the peace zone. Psalms 91. Let's look there. kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You have to grab onto that peace and hold on to it with all your might. He who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He will deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by day, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, or terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What do we hear all the time? What do you hear? If you do much on YouTube and you listen to much of anything, there's this kind of stuff all over it. Trying to get you stealing your joy, stealing your peace. Now I'm talking well-meaning people that are just walking in the flesh and they see the answers are strictly in the flesh. They don't see God is the answer. God is the provision. God is the leader. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Why? I'm in the peace zone. Only with your eyes will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the adder and the young lion and the serpent shalt thou trample under feet. Because he set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. There's the peace zone. There's protection. There's provision. Right there. Doesn't matter. 1,000 may fall at my side. 10,000 at my right hand. I don't care if the whole world goes down and hell in a handbasket. The Lord says, it won't be you. It won't be you. That is, if you choose. Peace rules. Like I said, safe. When you get rattled about stuff, just go, safe. You made it over the finish line, safe. You didn't think you was going to make it, but you did, safe. Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. I think we just unlocked a key to the kingdom. How does peace make the call? Be thankful. How does peace get out of our brains, out of our minds, our thinking processes? We start looking at the situation, the problem, and we begin to speak, oh my God, or whatever. Thankful. Be thankful. When Paul and Silas were in the prison, they didn't say, what are we going to do? They're going to kill us this time. We better call up there the rest of them. Better call over there to Rhoda's house, you know, maybe see if she can get our lawyer to come down here and see about us. No. They started singing praises. The next thing you know, an angel showed up. No pressure in the peace zone. Pressure is compression. That's conformity. Compression is conformity. This is how the devil works, pressure. If you don't think so, go look at the parable of the sower, Mark 4. The parable of the sower is our life. It's where we live. We're in some form of harvest. All the time. That's why you're struggling. You're in some form of harvest all the time. You're trying, you know, you're wanting something to come forth. And you're not sometimes not seeing what you want to see. All right. Let me see what verse. 14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard. See, they've heard the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the seed is sown in them. Then it says, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And how does he do it? And these are they in like manner that are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they that are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this age, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they that are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. So some didn't let peace make the call. They gave in to the pressure, and they let go of the word. But those that stayed in the peace zone, kept following the shepherd, didn't feel the pressure to let go of the word, they saw harvest. Okay, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill, steal, destroy. This is all about destroying your harvest. Anything in Satan's domain is chaos, the opposite of peace. Time to reign in life, and peace makes the call. Satan cannot move a well-balanced mind. Hebrews 12. Verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy could there have been in what he went through? He was looking past it. He was looking to the end. He was looking to the Father and the Father's will and why he came. So he took joy in that. But what they did to him was horrible, horrendous. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. First Timothy 6 talks about he stood before Pontius Pilate by faith, fought the good fight of faith, didn't open his mouth when he was accused, and he could have. And he could have spoiled the whole thing, but he didn't. So he's saying here, you have not had to endure that type, and probably never will have to endure that type. So if he could do it and have to go through what he did, how much more so can we do it? Because we're not being asked to give our life down. This is how Jesus did it. Let Jesus do the heavy lifting for you. All right, Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the place of peace, all is well. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Wherever your mind is where your circumstances are. Usually. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. Isaiah 26:3. Those will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Third John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Watch these triggers that can cause you to lose your peace and step back into the combat zone. We're just going to look at these right quick. 2 Peter 1:7. All right. Right here, verse 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what we're talking about, no respecting of persons. Not if we see somebody that we think is a certain way that we are repulsed by, we don't react. We accept people because we're on a rescue mission. We are looking for a hook in every person's life that we see to bring them into the kingdom. We go about doing good. Talking about brotherly kindness. Kindness goes a long way. A person, because they're the way they're treated, will come to the Lord or they won't come to the Lord. If you act in an ungodly, unloving manner to someone, you could seal their fate. They could turn from God and never come back. That's what I said. If Madam Clinton came in here this morning, we should treat her with respect and honor. Because if she was here, it would definitely be a divine mission. Or to say, Madam Secretary, I don't agree with much of what you say, but I'm concerned for your eternal soul. That your spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm concerned about. So I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Or would it be better to just trash her and bash her? Which do you think would be more appealing? What do you think would a fish, if you go on, we're going fishing here. We get out on the lake, and we're hitting the water, the lake with sticks, and we're throwing rocks in there. We throw our hook in, and we don't get any fish. Or we just cruise in there real quiet, slip that nice, juicy worm in there. And the fish just yum, 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 yum. See, bait. Bait. Goodness is your bait. Goodness, kindness, benevolence, brotherly kindness. I don't know anybody, I don't care how vile they are, likes to be treated with respect and likes to be treated kind. Okay, 1 Peter 3:10, watch your words. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips or his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Don't fight with people over doctrine and those kind of things. Do not do it. Avoid it at all cost. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We're not here to... A few weeks ago, the Lord said this to me. We are not here to change people's doctrines. That's what the world, why the world don't go to church anymore. You come in and they want to change everything about you to make you fit to their little country club atmosphere. I think that's why I hate country clubs so much. They're so uppity. If you don't fit here, they look down on you if you don't wear your designer this or that. That type of attitude. The church has been that way towards the sinner that come in the congregation. To where they felt like, heck, I felt that way and I was already saved. Never felt like I fit. Mm-hmm. Our battles are won in peace, not chaos. And let me show you an example. This is the last scripture, Ephesians, our last group of scriptures, Ephesians chapter 6. They'll get there. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the root of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In other words, we're not battling people. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having in all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. I thought about Cool Runnings. Peace be the journey. It's the way it's supposed to be. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is a stand of peace. Your feet are stable and fixed. Let me read it again. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So your peace shoes. It's a stand. It's a stand against the enemy. You want to come up and sing that song now?